Hello and welcome to Colonial Consoles. My name is Malik Johnson. I'm the program director here at Army Radio. I'm here with Garrett Roberts, the assistant arts and entertainment manager at Army Century Media. And later on, we'll have Logan Carney, the sports editor, Army Century Media. We've got a good show. We're going to talk about the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, which takes place this weekend. We're also going to talk about Sony not being at E3, and we're going to discuss what that means for Sony, Microsoft, and E3 as a whole. We're also going to talk about Bethesda's bag controversy. Garrett will have more on the story later on in the show. And finally, the Game Awards take place this week, the time of year where gamers everywhere discuss their favorite games of the year and their favorite game personalities. And we're going to discuss some of our favorites later on. Stay tuned to Colonial Consoles. All right, so first off on the list of topics, Sony announces that they're not going to have any E3 press conference this year. So, Garrett, what do you think?
I think that's actually kind of big, because Sony is the fun conference. They usually do something creative, and not having them there is going to make it a little bit boring.
So I have two trains of thoughts on this. One, this was the thing, and you saw it on Twitter, this is the thing that says to me PlayStation 5 is soon.
Or the Vita 2.
I bought a Vita recently, so I'm prepared. But Sony, as of right now, most of their studios are accounted for, as far as I know. San Diego is usually a baseball studio, if I remember right. Santa Monica just did God of War, so they're probably in pre-production for their next game right about now.
Yeah, which will probably end up being God of War 2. And they'll want to keep that announcement for like something like the PlayStation 5.
Naughty Dog is doing The Last of Us 2. We have Ghost of Tsushima, which is being played by Santa Monica. Media Molecule is finally putting out Dreams at some point. So yeah, a lot of their studios, we know what they're doing. Or the ones that we don't know, they're in production already. They're in pre-production. So what this says to me is that they don't have a lot of things going on, because they're holding everything for PS5.
Yeah, and I think a lot of their bigger games that they had coming out, we discussed a couple podcasts ago about they had a big chunk of PS4 games coming out around the same time.
Yeah.
And those were all big titles. By having all of those come out around the same time, they're not going to have a whole lot to talk about at E3. Kingdom Hearts 3, it's going to be coming out in January. Days Gone?
Days Gone, yeah.
Sorry, I still...
I think that's Santa Monica. Is that what Santa Monica's doing? No. Who's doing Days Gone?
I honestly don't know. That's, like I said previously, that is a game that I have heard nothing about, and I'm surprised that people care about it.
Days Gone. I forget who's doing it. I used to know, though.
I mean, it's going to be disappointing, because the Xbox convention last E3 was interesting. They kept it visually and audio interesting. Having Bethesda come out and make announcements made it good. But Sony's has always been weird and innovative and, like, pushes the boundaries of what those conferences are.
Last year, they did their, like, weird four games thing.
And they had the, The one dude who came in and played an instrument. I forget what instrument it was. It was a traditional...
It was a traditional Japanese instrument, yeah. That was for Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, it was, like, genuinely interesting and, like...
I thought that was boring, honestly. I was like, this isn't what I'm watching Sony's E3 for. I don't need to see.
But compared to something like Ubisoft, where it's like,
yeah,
we have a game, it's selling for $40, take it, leave it, we don't care. I mean,
here's a cheesy dad joke about it.
Yeah, like they come out and they go, hi gamers, I'm dad. Like something like that. And Sony at least kept it interesting. They had like, for God of War, they had like a ton of instruments, and they make it visually interesting. They keep those bored people at E3 entertained, and that's something that like is going to be missed. Nintendo doesn't even attend anymore. They just send them a direct to air.
Now, my other train of thought on this is, are we going to see, you know, the PlayStation 4 has been phenomenal for Sony. Like, it's sold way more than any, I think it's surpassed the PS2 at this point. It's high up there. And it's blowing Xbox out of the water. It's blowing the Switch out. You know, it's better than any of the other consoles that are out there right now. Do we go back to a PlayStation 3 era Sony, where Sony is, like, very, very, like, proud of themselves. They think they're better than everyone else, and they're not really gamer-centric, which is what really pushed the PS3 to the forefront in the first place. And I think we might see a little bit of that. We saw it with, like, not wanting cross-play between consoles. You know, them not being at E3, them canceling PlayStation Experience this year, which we'll get to.
They have to play it careful, because Sony, their primary demographic that they aim to please is the Japanese market in most cases. Microsoft has always been the American console. So it by having that competition, they're appealing to two very different crowds, and they need to make sure they can maintain that casual crowd to push consoles. That's why the Vita did badly, because it was Sony going, here's something that is made for like a Japanese market and culture. It doesn't run like big games, and people immediately went, oh, then who cares?
But what does this mean for Microsoft? Microsoft, now they have this huge opening. They have the whole E3 to themselves. Pretty much, you know, no one cares about EA doesn't go. It's literally Microsoft and Ubi on the stage. Like, that's it.
Is Bethesda on the stage this year?
I don't think they've announced anything yet.
I mean, the last E3 conference they did was horribly awkward.
It wasn't great. So, I mean, hopefully they're not. Bethesda was an E3 conference that definitely did not need to happen more than once.
Yeah, and I think Bethesda would even benefit from, like, putting their games into somewhere like Microsoft, because they last E3 announced major games that they're working on, but, like, aren't going anywhere. Elder Scroll Blades, the mobile game.
Yeah.
They have been promising would come out and hasn't come out, and they announced that last year at E3. But I think Microsoft should honestly push really hard on their stage.
Phil Spencer needs to every single gun in the arsenal needs to be locked and loaded for this year's E3, because if it's not, and E3 blows this year, that's all that anyone is going to hear about for the next year, at least. Everyone's going to be like, well, Sony didn't come to E3, and Microsoft gave this subpar conference. But they also think the big like E3 question with Microsoft is not a lot of their games that they announced at E3 actually like happen.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they had the game with Platinum that never happened that looked cool. Crackdown is finally coming out 3 years after it got announced. It's Halo and Forza comes out every year, but other than that,
yeah.
Microsoft is usually not a great E3 conference. It's usually pretty okay. I know they've also had their XO18 event where they announced a bunch of studios. I'd hope that by the time E3 comes around, they have stuff to show.
Yeah, I mean, last year they announced Cyberpunk and Devil May Cry on their stage, which was definitely a good move. I do think that they need to make a big show out of it and, like, draw in people to see, but they also really need to work on not making it cheesy, or else the entire thing will be, like, made fun of for years. Because that's the issue that companies like Ubisoft were running into with the dude on the motorcycle.
Mm.
And,
Alicia Tyler.
And then, what's that company? Revolver Digital.
Devolver Digital is an E3 legend.
Yeah, they're a legend, but, like, imagine they get that shock humor and get those people drawn in. And as a result, some people are like, oh, my God, this is, like, hard to watch.
Yeah. But that's usually Devolver Digital's itch. They were big in the Vita era.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they really had their spot to shine, where they could just put games out on the Vita.
I mean, honestly, Microsoft should take that time, present a game that looks like really cool and interesting, and then go, and we release it like next month.
See, here's the thing with that. A lot of like shadow dropping games is not great. Like, there aren't a lot of games that get shadow dropped that generally do well. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's super cool to be like, and it's available now, but we're all watching E3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the people that would, like, know about it are watching E3, so it's, like, I guess that's cool, but, like,
it's just going to be a learning curve, I would say. Like, yeah. Without Sony there, there's potential. But if you take too much advantage of it, it's going to fail.
Yeah. Now, again, what do you think Sony, like, makes their announcements? People were like, oh, well, Sony's going to announce PS5, Sony's going to announce PS5. I think we won't see PS5 till about 2020. I think we could easily see an announcement. Early, maybe late next year. around like PSX next year and then release it 2020 towards the fall around Christmas time. But what do we think? Because once that happens, whenever Sony announces anything from this point forward, it's big news because they don't have a showing at all.
Mm-hmm. I think they should honestly, like, and this is a bigger critique of E3, people should follow the model that Nintendo does with their directs. Make them more consistent, but use that to make big announcements.
Yeah.
And then if Sony does something like that in favor of E3, I think it'll get better reception. People will be like, they didn't go to E3. They took an extra month, but these trailers were amazing, and they, like, dropped hints at something cool. And if they announce a PS5 not at E3, more people will walk away going, yeah, did you hear about the PS5? And they'll be talking about the PS5 rather than, did you see what they announced at E3?
Yeah.
Because Microsoft will go, oh, look, here's our new Xbox, while PlayStation's like, here's our new PlayStation. If they announce it at a separate time, they're getting those two different audiences.
We talked a lot about PlayStation and what they're doing, but they did cancel PlayStation Experience this year, and because of that, one of my personal favorite YouTube channels, Kinda Funny, they're throwing a game showcase. I think it's this Saturday. The Kinda Funny Game Showcase. And I kind of want to talk about that. So what do we think about... So one, I think... I've been following it a little bit, and I'm excited to see it. They have around 60 games mm-hmm. that they're going to show. And five of them... Game Informer just put out an article a couple days ago. Five of them are going to be and it's out right now things.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think having people who care more about games present them will also do better, because having an executive tell you this game's going to be good, look at it, it's cool,
yeah,
it doesn't sell you as much as somebody that you relate to from like a YouTube personality going, yo, we got this game out, cool. And it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, they've been working hard on it too. They have, I know Celeste like retweeted it, and we'll talk about Celeste later, and we're talking about game of the year. Yakuza, they had some interaction with Sega. So they have, like, big games that are, like, scheduled for this. This isn't just all, like, Devolver Digital things. And I think that's what's really going to make it interesting, especially replacing PlayStation Experience.
Do you think, then, that we'll see something from the Shovel Knight developers? Because the Shovel Knight developers have been working on a fighting game.
I think that's really likely. I know Kinda Funny was, like, they're big Shovel Knight fans, so I wouldn't mm-hmm. be surprised to see those guys on the stage.
Yeah, they plan to have their own fighting game similar to Smash release, and that would be a great platform to release it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely going to do better than I think E3 will this year. Kind of like to combine those two conversations almost.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be talking about indie games that people care about. Developers that like they can be more one-on-one with.
Yeah, and not just that. You know, they're old IGN guys, so they have connections. They can, you know, get those the big Ubisofts, the big EAs.
Yeah, and having Yakuza there, like, they're probably going to be talking about, I don't know if you've seen, and I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it's by the Yakuza developers, and it's basically Phoenix Wright, but in the Yakuza engine.
Oh, which I've not heard of that.
Yes, essentially you play as a lawyer who beats people up, which...
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
And that'll definitely be an interesting place for them to talk about that game, because you don't see a whole lot of places talking about it, but it looks really interesting. They always handle all of their games like movies, so having that like bigger developer that people, like those more niche fans will care about at their conference will make it do better.
All right. And we're going to take a quick break while we get Logan Carney set up. Stay tuned for our Game of the Year discussion on Colonial Consoles. Welcome back to Colonial Consoles. We've got Logan Carney, sports editor for Army Century Media. Garrett's still here with me, and I am also still on the mic. Before we talk about the Game of the Year, Garrett, you wanted to talk about the Bethesda bag scandal. What happened?
All right, so essentially, people who ordered the Power Armor edition of Fallout 76 were a little bit upset when they found out that the bags that they got with the game, like, essentially, they were told that they would get, like, a collector's bag. Yeah. They found out that it was nylon instead of canvas, and people started to, for lack of a better term, throw themselves around that Bethesda would lie to them and cheat them out of something.
Oh, what a surprise. Bethesda is not an honorable company. Who would have saw that? Who would have seen that coming?
The company who hires Todd Howard would lie to you.
I don't understand your obsession with Todd Howard.
That man has lied every time he's been on stage. E3, any Bethesda conference, he has lied about something in a game. And people are surprised that Fallout 76, a game he was heavily involved with, had a lie involved with it.
A lot of lies involved with it.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand being angry because you paid a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
It was $200. I'd be furious. And then they gave him a $5 credit for Bethesda. I always mispronounce their company name, but Bethesda dollars, basically. So they gave him $5 to spend more money on their crap. I mean, I'd be furious if that was me. 100%. They have every right to be up in arms. I believe they're being sued by a bunch of people. And now I believe the FBI is investigating or something like that. The government's investigating them for false advertising.
Yeah. The way that it currently is being processed is that earlier today, even, Bethesda went, listen, if you honestly have that big of an issue with it, send in this slip and we'll get you a canvas bag as soon as they're made. But they're like, we have to actually go through the processing of doing this, so you need to, like, handle yourselves with decorum, essentially. And I do think it brings up a bigger issue with people being too friendly with game developers. Like, people think that game developers owe them something. Like, obviously, if you pay for it, you should get what you were promised, but they didn't promise a canvas bag, they promised a bag. And anybody who's bought, like, a collector's edition of a game knows that it's junk in there. It's swag.
Yeah.
But people tend to trust game developers too much and, like, think that they're exempt from doing bad, which isn't healthy for a consumer.
No. That's been an issue for years, though.
Yeah, like, Nintendo doesn't owe you anything. So when people throw themselves around, Nintendo can look at you and go, why do we care?
Yeah.
That was a big issue with Smash is people are like, well, I want this character in. Why aren't they in?
No, like, because we don't want to put them in.
Yeah.
Pay for it or don't.
Essentially, it's somebody's creative vision, and you're like, I want it my way.
Yeah. All right.
Well, they're also being investigated for their refund policy, too.
Yeah, that was a, like, genuinely criminal act going, okay, listen, we promised refunds, and we're not going to give them. It's a little bit tricky depending on where you bought it from because Steam's policy, from what I remember, is 30 days and you can return a game.
You have to. Steam's policy is.
I thought it was 48 hours for
it's
a refund.
48 hours and you had to have played the game less than 2 hours.
All right. I'm not too familiar because I've never had to return a game on Steam.
I tried to return a game on Steam. It didn't work out.
I tried to return Dark Souls because Dark Souls. The PC port of it doesn't run on computers. And
oh, that's important.
Yeah, that's a very important thing. Steam sold it, and you have to buy a mod to even run it on most computers. And it's not even like it's a big game. If you can run it on the Switch. But, like, it's these companies don't really owe you anything. I'm not saying that it's From Software who makes Dark Souls, right?
Yeah, From Software.
Yeah, I'm not saying that From Software, like, owed me anything, but that refund policy is something that, like, is a U.S. consumer protection thing, and it's just companies aren't your friends. I guess that's my takeaway from this. Bethesda doesn't care. Todd Howard will lie to your face about, like, Oblivion has Radiant AI. It's constantly changing. You can climb that mountain. All of it's lies.
All right, well, getting off about how game developers are friends, let's celebrate games for the year and talk about the Game of the Year Awards special. It's going on Thursday.
Yeah, I think Bethesda's Game Company of the Year.
Oh, okay. Them and EA. So what we're going to do is I have the categories up on my laptop, and we're just going to talk about which ones we think are going to win.
We going through every category?
I think we have just a few choice categories.
Yeah, because some of the categories don't really even have much of a competition.
And then there are categories where we just don't have anything
like
to say.
Like the ones that Red Dead are in when there's not much competition.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Red Dead discussion. That's going to happen. All right. So first off, we have Best Ongoing Game nominees. So this is for games that are ongoing. They don't stop after you roll credits. We have Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
I would love to say it goes to Destiny. I've had a lot of fun playing Destiny because it was free on PSN, and that's the only reason I play it. But I know it's going to Fortnite. I'm going to sit there and cry as they go, Fortnite wins an award.
What's so wrong with what Fortnite was? I don't understand why people dislike. Like I've never got into it. I have never played it. But Fortnite has changed how people play video games. It is much more game-changing, at least, than Destiny was. The first Destiny wasn't even very good.
Oh, yeah. Destiny 2 is just a copy of Destiny 1.
Exactly. So, I have no problem with it going to Fortnite. I think it will also go to Fortnite. I think it's interesting that No Man's Sky is on this list, considering just how poorly that release was. I got that game. I was one of the people that really was anticipating that game.
Yeah, I was too.
And then it disappointed me. I haven't played it, but I know from what I've read, it's gotten 10 times better since then.
I play No Man's Sky. For the record, I think Fortnite's going to get it too. I think they're doing great with their seasons and everything. And
I think Fortnite deserves it. I think Fortnite deserves it. I think it's changed the gaming industry. Let's be honest. When you can change how a video game series like Call of Duty is played, that's insanely successful every single year, then obviously you're doing something right. Yeah. I mean, they've changed first person shooters. They've come. There's more games that have copied them. Fortnite to me, it seems like a no brainer.
The main issue I think that lies with it, and the main reason that people get angry that Fortnite gets nominated, is like how prominent it is now, because like you can go into a preschool and they'll go, I love Fortnite, and it's something that like people are getting sick of hearing about. It's not a particularly good game. It's average.
Yeah, but why should popularity hurt it?
Because
that's the same reason that people have arguments for Oscars when an art film wins an Oscar, and why they don't take a popular film. Well, the reason these popular films are popular is because a lot more people think that they're better movies. Reason that these games are more popular is because a lot more people think that they're better video games. Eventually we're determining on who should determine this. Should it be, you know, the few people, or should it be the majority? And the majority of the people are going to say Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fortnite has deserved it. I think looking at these games, I've heard problems about all of them, except for really Overwatch. But Overwatch is similar to Fortnite in which it's a decent game that's really has come along with how it's changed online multiplayers. Tom Clancy, I haven't played the last Tom Clancy. No Man's Sky, again, has started out poorly. It's really bounced back, and I think that's an impressive story in its own right. Destiny 2, similar way too as well, in which it opened up to really bad reviews and everything, and now it's being nominated for this is a testament to its own right. Fortnite's the only one that hasn't had that issue.
Yeah.
Fortnite's the only one where it has been the best ongoing game because it was the best game from the start to the finish.
Well, here's the thing. The Fortnite that we know of as Fortnite isn't the original Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite originally was a single-player game, and even before that, it had changed a lot in development. So it did come out, and like nobody played the original game, and they added the multiplayer mode, and that's where its popularity started really.
Arguably, almost every game on this list is that way.
Yeah.
So I guess this is a question for you, Logan. Would it come down to Overwatch and Fortnite? Do you think that's like where the two largest source of votes will lie?
I don't know. I think it should be Fortnite. Who votes? This is the public that votes on this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it will come down to... I think it will be Fortnite in the landslide for the reason that it is the public voting for it. I think all of them can have a claim, but I think Fortnite is also the most deserving.
Okay.
Even without having played Fortnite, I think it's just from how much it is in pop culture now. I think it's a game that has changed, you know, the way people play video games, the way video game companies make their video games, for better or worse, whatever your opinion is on that. Again, I don't play these type of games, so For me, it's changed it for the worse, but it still managed to change, you know, games like Call of Duty, games like Battlefield. These are games that
it's arguably changed Red Dead with their new
yes
online.
With Red Dead too. So these are huge video game companies with and these are major franchises that this, you know, Fortnite from a no name studio that whenever it came out it was a no name game has changed the way we play.
Fortnite is developed by EA.
And no, it's not.
It's not?
It's developed by Epic Games.
Epic, okay.
Yeah, it's not EA.
Yeah. The same company whose biggest game before that was Clash of Clans. So I think we can say that it was pretty much a nobody considering they was downing iPhone and Android games before this. So I think that's a huge accomplishment by them.
All right, moving on. Edit here, by the way, my EA.
Okay, I'll take that out.
Okay. Best Game Direction nominees for the Game Awards: A Way Out, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, so this is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
I honestly think for Best Direction, I will concede it to Red Dead 2. Because there's a lot of cinematic scenes in that. I think God of War is a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have used more cinematic scenes. It has a very cinematic opening sequence, but mainly throughout the game there's not a whole lot of cinematics, and if they are, it's the traditional, like, oh, somebody gets thrown off a cliff, so it shakes the camera.
Now, I think Detroit Become Human is definitely worth in that conversation. I think despite that game not being a traditional game, and for those of you listening, I'm saying game in air quotes, I think the story that it told was really interesting. I think it did a lot with what it was given. The game is super great. Like, it's definitely one of the favorite games that I've played this year. And then also A Way Out, I think, was really good. I didn't have a chance to play it, but the idea that that whole game takes place and you have to play it with two players, you have to play it between these two people, and how that story intertwines and moves together, I think is really good. So I think for the most part, a lot of these games on this list have a really good claim to the crown, to the award, but
yeah,
I think Red Dead will probably go away with it.
I honestly think it would come down to Red Dead and Detroit. But one of the issues that I would have with Detroit is that a lot of David Cage's games are very similar.
Yeah.
And as a result, many people go like, oh, well, it's the same thing.
Well, it gets better every time.
Objectively, like, the more you work on something, the better it gets. Yeah. But I think having Red Dead 2 in that category kind of blows it out of the water.
I think it's clearly going to be Red Dead. For as you said, I mean, the amount of cinematic moments, even not just the cutscenes, but, you know, some of the shots, for example, one of the most iconic, at least one of the favorite shots, is whenever the gang is walking to the house to save Jack, a little kid. And all of them are walking in one line. There's trees lined up on the side of them. The house is perfectly framed. They put a lot of effort, and that's a mission. That's not one of their cinematic cutscenes. Mm-hmm. There's some of their cinematic cutscenes, like the end. Even this, another thing, you're when you're riding at the end, when I'm assuming I don't have to spoiler, because I'm sure everybody that's played this game has finished it at this point. At least I hope you've finished it at this point. But when you know that Arthur is about to die, and you're riding to go confront Micah, and depending on if you're honorable or dishonorable throughout the game, the cutscenes change.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're riding, you are controlling the horse and everything like that. But it has absolutely beautiful music in the background. It cuts. Garrett, I showed you this scene. I'm pretty sure I showed you this. But it cuts. It will cut back and forth with thoughts throughout the game, real quotes from characters throughout the game, and they put a lot of effort into this type of stuff. Some of the other, there's even minor cutscenes, like when your horse dies at the end. It's extremely upsetting. And then, you know, there's beautiful cutscenes like that. I mean, they put a lot of effort into filming these motion capture. It took them, I believe, 7 years to do all the motion capture work for the game. So I think that alone will blow out the competition.
Yeah, I think for my honorable mention, I would do God of War, because there's some very, like, iconic scenes in it. Like, it's honestly one of my favorite, like, game scenes, whenever Kratos goes back to get the Blades of Chaos. A spoiler for a year-old game.
Yeah.
But he goes back to get the Blades of Chaos at one point. And during that scene, it's very cinematic. It's very, like, you know what's going on and you're like giddy about it because you're about to get the cool flaming blades. But there's not enough scenes like that. Rockstar is able to do that directing well. They've done it for years. So I have to give it to Red Dead.
All right. Moving on. I'm going to give it to Red Dead 2. I think Red Dead did a really good job. I think my honorable mention goes out to Detroit Become Human, though. I think that was a really good job with David Cage and what he did.
I don't even know what to give an honorable mention to. I think Red Dead blows this. This is their category. I don't think there's one that's nearly as deserving. No offense to other games, but it's just, you know, even stuff there's a mission where you're building a house. And I don't know if you've seen this.
The music video?
The music in the background is phenomenal. They cut the mission itself so that it feels like you're watching a TV show. But you're not. The game, all these cutscenes felt like a movie. The people have started using the cutscenes and using their game footage to make movie trailers, which I know is common but for a lot of good games. But this has become like there's a lot of them out there because of just how well put together this is. So I think they blow this category out of the way. I don't think there's anyone that comes close to this one. They lose this one, that would be the biggest upset of the night.
All right, moving on. We're going to go to Best Art Direction. Nominees for the Game Awards include Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, and then Return of the Overton.
Again, I think you got to go with Red Dead 2.
Ooh, now this is where we're going to argue for a bit. I honestly think God of War has a better art direction. I think aesthetically, God of War is more appealing than Red Dead.
I disagree. I think if you look at some of the environments that Red Dead had. I mean, you can go and just, it's Rockstar's most beautiful game, and Rockstar has had a lot of beautiful games. I mean, they've all the games.
Arguably by today's standard, San Andreas and stuff. But I get your point.
Yes, when they came out with San Andreas and stuff like that, those were beautiful games for that time. Obviously, today, no comparison. But even GTA 5 still holds up today with a lot of their shots. And Red Dead blew that out of the water. There's so many different environments. There's so many different just how it looks. I mean, the mountains, as much as I hate them, are absolutely beautiful. The shots that you do, the cinematic camera. I mean, the fact that there's no fast travel and you have a cinematic camera, which is totally built to showing off the styling of the game in all the different environments and how much art that they put into it.
Well, arguably, God of War has something similar where you don't get fast travel until the very end of the game. So you're seeing these environments over and over. And there's enough variety.
Yes,
in those.
I agree, but I don't think it's on the scale as Red Dead. I don't think God of War may be better, but I don't think it has. But I think there's a lot more. There's a lot more stuff in Red Dead. There's a lot more. It's much larger of a game. It's much larger of an environment. The cinematic camera is absolutely amazing. As much as I hate it because it killed my horse. Because on a side note, I think this is a closer one. I don't think it's as clean as game direction, but I don't know. I think this is close to what I'm going with Red Dead.
Yeah, I do think it'll come down to, well, like, you kind of briefly
mentioned. I think
Assassin's
Creed you can put into because they've always, this is like the one thing that they've always had. Like when you go up and you do you stand on, what are they, on top of the church? Things they have, those little wood things you're supposed to stand on top of. The eagle points. I mean, that's stuff that Assassin's Creed has always done well. So I think that they can be a dark horse candidate. They're my third. I don't know. I've never heard of these other two games. So, and since it's a popular vote, I doubt that they would win. But I think it can be any one of those three.
Yeah, I think an argument that you brought up earlier will kind of, even whenever we talk about the other categories, come up again, is quantity over quality. Like, there's a lot of art in Red Dead, but there's more consistent and beautiful art in
God
of War.
I don't know, because there's nothing in Red Dead that's not...
Yeah, it's all
consistently beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Red Dead, I think, has quality and quantity. And I think God of War has quality. I think Red Dead beats it in the other category, and that's why I think it wins. I think they both have very great shots, but
and it's also
Red Dead has more of them, and I think that's why. I think if God of War was a larger game, then I would go with God of War. But I think because Red Dead has more and it never lacks in that area, and that's arguably the best area that it's in, then I'm going Red Dead. I think it's close, but I'm going Red Dead.
Yeah, I think my final argument for that would for God of War will be that while Red Dead has very beautiful, realistic art, God of War kind of innovates with – they had to work with I think you got a five realms. I might be wrong on that. It's been a while since I've played through God of War. But being able to design all those five realms to look the way they do beautifully, it was a challenge. And having that mystical side to it will give it a leg up in the competition.
All right, moving on to our next category. We have Best Independent Game nominees for the Game Awards. Just let me know if we can talk about these. I've played two of them on the list. Celeste, Dead Cells, Into the Breach, Return of the Obra Dinn, and The Messenger.
You guys can talk about this one. I don't really know this category too well.
I think Dead Cells has a very good shot.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Dead Cells. I think Celeste has the shot.
I do think Celeste is going to possibly win. It's a little bit more mainstream than Dead Cells is because, like, Celeste even has a Switch port now.
Yeah.
But basically, if you're a popular game, you have a Switch port.
Well, Dead Cells has one, too.
It does, but, I mean, more people were excited for Celeste. And it's gotten more, like, public notoriety. It's an innovative game. It has innovative design and storytelling. Dead Cells is a very good game. It's very beautiful. I just don't think it'll win.
Yeah, I think Celeste, the story that it tells is a really great story for such a small game. It takes that story of your character, whose name escapes me right now, and her, like, journey through depression as she climbs this mountain was amazing. It was probably not one of the best stories that I've played, but it was really good. Dead Cells, to me, my problem with Dead Cells was that I always felt confused. Mm-hmm. I never really knew what I was supposed to be doing. Whereas Celeste gave me the solid goal of, hey, get to the end of, you know, get to the top of the mountain, get to the end of the, and you always felt like you could do it. With Dead Cells, it's more just, you know, try. Maybe you get something, get frustrated, look at a wiki, go back at it, try.
Yeah, that's honestly like a bigger problem with indie games as a whole, is like the storytelling, they try to do too much or too vaguely, but that's why Celeste will do better. Yeah. It's more appealing.
I think Celeste will definitely have it.
Oh, yeah, so that's probably a dead giveaway. I think the next best shot would be Dead Cells.
Do you mean it's a Dead Cells giveaway?
Ba-dum-ts.
Can we just add in the sound effect of a ba-dum-ts?
Why not? I do it great. Yeah, ba-dum-ts. All right.
What's our next category?
All right, we have the final category. Your six nominees for Game of the Year at the Game Awards are Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's popular vote. It's going Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, I think it's the best game on this list too. I mean, it's
arguably, if it was popular vote, it might go to Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man. Red Dead Redemption 2 had the largest opening for a media product for a weekend media product ever. So
it sells well. But in all honesty, I think God of War overall is a better package. It's more succinct. You get that experience, and it's good. Red Dead 2 is a very big game, but it's not like you can sit down, play it, walk away, and go, I really enjoyed that. It's more open world, and that's...
It's not true. The story is the best part of Red Dead. You sit down, you play it. The fact that there's other stuff, too, just means how amazing of a game is. I mean, it's more than just the story. The story's better than God of War, in my opinion.
Ooh, that's a little bit iffy.
It's better. I don't think it's iffy. I really don't. I think the story is better. I think the Red Dead story, I mean, from the moment when Arthur Morgan gets diagnosed with
tuberculosis.
TB, thank you. To when he dies. You see a character development that just has not been seen in a video game.
Well,
other
arguably.
Than anything else, and even if you've played Dishonorably, like the game was built for that character development. There are choices that for the same task, it won't give you until after that TB thing. For example, if you go collect money for Leonard Strauss, all right, in the beginning of the game, it won't give you an option to pay off their debt. At the end of the game, after you get TB, it gives you that option every single time. It forces that character development on you, and that character development is phenomenal, and that's what builds up to the story at the end. Do I think it was a bit long? Yes. I think that there are some parts it could have cut out because the fact that – but again, like, there are so many iconic moments in that story. It captivates you from the beginning when you see them fighting through the mountains. And once you get out of the mountains and you do all these things, and then there's the missions, you know, for the story, like when you go get drunk with Lenny, absolutely hysterical mission. Even after the epilogue, I thought I think they should have cut out parts of the epilogue because I think that detracted from Arthur Morgan's story. But even, you know, again, we mentioned, you know, earlier the building the house mission, mm-hmm. which was fun. It was just fun. Like, I think it has the best story. I think it has, and I think it has the best story, and there's a lot more stuff that you can do outside of it, which is why I think it becomes Game of the Year.
I guess then I'll start, like, kind of my argument for God of War is the story is one of the best parts of that game. Rather than, like, you don't need to play the original God of War to understand the story of the God of War kind of reboot for PS4. And the story that they present to you about, like, Kratos not really being comfortable with his son at the beginning of the game and, like, not knowing how to talk to him, and then having that journey where they learn to be, like, father and son, and they learn about themselves along the way, I think that's a really, like, touching and heartfelt story that, like, while Red Dead 2 offers a really good story about you and the gang, arguably having Kratos and his son limited to two characters and having the story revolve around them makes it more focused and streamlined. There's obviously, like, stuff you can do, like collecting everything in the game and fighting the Valkyries that add to the value, but the story being there and being so well-crafted, I think it makes it Game of the Year.
So you mentioned Marvel's Spider-Man as being one of the games that's going to potentially win Game of the Year, and I'm going to tell you right now, Marvel's Spider-Man will not win Game of the Year. I think Marvel's Spider-Man is a good game. I think it's a good Spider-Man game. It's really funny because I come into this argument. You two both played God of War and Red Dead Redemption 2. I played pretty much every other game on the list, and I think it's definitely between those two games, Red Dead Redemption 2 and God of War. I think Marvel's Spider-Man is a really good – it's a great Spider-Man game. It's a good game. It's not a great game. It has a lot of problems control-wise. The story is a very paint-by-numbers Spider-Man game. It's a superhero game. Monster Hunter World, although it was the most like casual Monster Hunter game, and I remember the big hubbub about it when it came out, that everyone was playing it. Monster Hunter World is more Monster Hunter. I don't care what anybody tells you, it's more Monster Hunter. Celeste, I said earlier that was a really good game, and I think that actually might be my dark horse pick for second or third is Celeste. I think that story was really good. I think the gameplay is really solid, and I also think that it surprised me that it even made it onto the list at all. And then Assassin's Creed, you know, gets nominated every year and doesn't really win.
So I guess to kind of wrap our discussion up, because we have only got a little bit of time left, how about we go around and give one submission for game of 2018 that maybe didn't make the list?
I don't know if there was a game that
could surpass Red Dead 2?
I thought
is there something you feel like got jiped off the list?
I'm trying to think of the games I played this year.
I don't think it'll get jiped off the list, but I think Persona 5 was an excellent game this year.
That was my pick.
Persona 5 took what I liked about Persona 3, what I liked about Persona 4, and it made it into the best streamlined movie poster that you can get. I think it's definitely not Game of the Year worthy. I don't think it's best story worthy. Art direction worthy, but
do you think if it then would replace something like Monster Hunter or Spider-Man, it was more deserving?
No. I think Persona 5 is a good Persona game, and it's good for people that like that type of game. I think maybe Spider-Man it could replace, but I don't think it It's definitely not my favorite out of those three. I think Persona 3, and we'll have this discussion another week, I'm sure.
Oh, we plan to.
But I think Persona 3 has the best story in that game, and I think Persona 5 only scratched the surface of what it could have done. I think Persona 5 took the themes that Persona is so popular for, and it would not touch it. It pirouetted around it like a ballet dancer.
Even though Persona 4's story is much better.
All right, with that, we're going to end.
Well, hold on. I didn't give my pick.
Oh, yeah, give your pick. Yeah,
well. I didn't give my thing. I'm quickly just... See, I don't know. There wasn't really many games that I really cared. I don't think there were many games that I thought really went to it. I'm going to say one that I think is... that. I'm just going to say one that I think is fun. That I've... watch people play a little bit that I've played very, very little, but Hitman 2. I think throwing the briefcase and being able to kill someone with a rake is just fun. It's not game of the year, but I think that's fun.
You know what? And that's all you can want out of a game.
That's all I can want.
If it isn't fun, why bother?
All right. And be sure to tune. I don't think we're doing another special before...
No, I think...
Before break. I think this is it.
Yeah, this is about it before break.
But next semester, we will be back. We will talk about all of the video games that we can think of. Logan Carney, I'm sure that you will be back on to talk about your favorite games.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Garrett, what are you working on? What can we look out for on armycentralmedia.com?
Of course, check out Colonial Rock Radio Mondays from 8 to 9. And then we're going to be working on plenty of reviews and redoing how we do reviews for the A&E section.
Logan, what's going on in sports? What can people check out Army Central Media for?
Well, we have a lot of articles coming up. Sports don't sleep with the winter season. Be sure to follow all the sports teams over winter break. I'm going to be doing all the basketball games. We got Luke Yost at all the women's basketball games. Hockey games will be covered. So be sure to check that out if you want to keep up with those teams.
And be sure to tune in to Army Radio January 4th and 5th. We'll be broadcasting live from PPG Arena and the Mario Lemieux Center for the Three Rivers Classic. All four games will be broadcast on RMU Radio. Play-by-play, color, everything will be handled by RMU Radio and RMU Century Media Voices. Be sure to tune in.